you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Continuing our study of Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 5, and this morning we're only going to look at verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. This is God's word. "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and he has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love these verses. We are given three clear points. There are subpoints as well, but three clear points, and they all start with the letter G, thanks to this translation. The first one is groaning. What are you groaning about? I've seen a number of comics talk about the fact that as we get older, we begin to make sounds as we do things. If we go to sit down, it's sort of, and if we go to get up, it's like, And whatever we're doing, we start to emit these groanings. Paul in Romans chapter 8 talks about the fact that all creation is groaning, longing for the appearance of the sons of God. There's a groaning down deep inside of us, and you don't have to be getting old in order for that to be the case. But the question is, what are you groaning about? Are you groaning because you want to hold on to more of earth longer? Or are you groaning because you are longing to be in heaven with your Lord? Paul says, speaking of how Christians live, "We know that we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. For while in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." He says, it's not that we're just dying to die. It's not that our great eagerness is just to get rid of this troublesome body, though there are days we may feel that way. But the reason we're groaning is because we're longing for something better, better than we've ever experienced in this life. I've had some good days and I've had some difficult days, but none of my best days can compare to what awaits all of God's children in glory. Paul says, we have a heavenly dwelling, not made by human hands. God is preparing a place for us, and it is going to be more wonderful than our best day on earth. And if we really believe that, then we are longing for that. We're looking forward to being with Him. Because the fact is, those who are in Christ Jesus will be with Him forever. And that's marvelous. Now, are you on your way to heaven? Not everyone is. When a friend of ours died last night, we had full confidence that that person who'd been in hospice for a few days would be going directly into the presence of God. And the reason is because his trust was in Jesus. And God has promised that those who trust in him will be saved. And in fact, this brings us to our second G, the fact that God is the one who guarantees that we're going to heaven. He guarantees it. Well, what sort of guarantee do we have? I was recently talking with the manufacturer of an appliance, a new appliance here on campus that has not been working. We've been trying to get it repaired and just frustrated at every turn. So guess what? Not all guarantees are equal. But this guarantee is solid. Look at verse 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and that is the purpose of being with him forever. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Go back and look in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. God guarantees eternal life to his children, and he gives us a deposit so that we know this is real. And that deposit is God himself, God the Holy Spirit, who comes to live in us. Paul writes in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason that we have the hope of eternal life is because God himself comes to live in us. It is his Spirit in us that is our guarantee of eternal life with him. Well, Pastor Wood, don't some people lose their salvation? You know, I'm glad you asked that question. Because the Bible says they went out from us because they were not of us. Because if they had been of us, they would not have gone out from us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that many will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this and didn't we do this in your name? He says, I will say to them, depart from me. You lost your salvation. Is that what he says? No. He says, I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You don't lose your salvation unless you are trying to save yourself. But when God saves us, he keeps us. The reason we're secure is not because somebody else told us so in Sunday school or Pastor Wood said so. The reason that we're secure is because God says so, and he guarantees it and shows it to us by coming to live in us himself. The Spirit of God is the guarantee. The Spirit of God is the seal of ownership. The Spirit of God is the reason that no matter what we're going through, we can have peace and security in Christ, because our salvation is not something we accomplish. It is something he accomplishes for us. So, the reason we're groaning is because we're longing for heaven. We're looking forward to it. I want to ask you honestly, are you looking forward to heaven? Are you looking further out there at what's coming? I used to ask my friends in the public school when I was growing up, I'd say, you know, what do you plan on doing when you get older? And they'd say, well, you know, I'm hoping to go to college, or I'm hoping to get a good job. And I'd say, that's great. And then what? Well, you know, save up, get a house, you know, get married, have kids. That's great. And then what? Well, I don't know, work hard, maybe get a boat, you know. I mean, what are you talking about? I'd say, and then what? Well, I guess retire. Okay, and then what? Well, I'd like to play more golf. Okay, and then what? Die. And then what? Ever since I was a kid, I've been trying to get people to look down the road, because guess what? If you live to be 120, you're still going to die and then spend forever either in heaven or in hell. So if you're not even thinking about that, you're living like a bozo. You're being very foolish by not looking ahead and realizing forever is a long, long time. Now, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Okay. In heaven, we will delight in worshiping God. Look at the book of Revelation. That's what it says we're going to be doing, and we're not going to be doing it. Okay, God says we got to worship now for how long? No. We will be so thrilled to be in the presence of God that worship will be a delight. Is that the way that you're leaning right now? Do you really enjoy? My wife, God bless my precious wife. She says over and over and over again, I am never as happy as when I am worshiping the Lord. And that's the truth. I live with her. I know. She just loves to worship God, to sing to him, to hear others sing to him, to pray, to hear his word proclaimed, to hear testimonies. She loves to worship God. Do you? Are you going to be happy in heaven? Do you like to worship God? If you don't like to worship God, you need a heart transplant. Because I have worshiped God in all kinds of churches, all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of traditions. I'm not talking about how you worship. I'm talking about who you worship. Do you delight in the worship of God? Because if you're going to heaven, you better practice. Because that's what we're going to be doing, is worshiping the Lord. You know what else we're going to delight in? Fellowship with other Christians. We're going to celebrate this oneness. Jesus said, you want to know what I want you to do? Love one another. Love one another. You read in the book of Acts what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon his people. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship, being devoted to one another. It's not just an activity, it's an activity that involves each other. I thank God for technology. I thank God that people can live stream our services and watch them after the fact and listen to them. I hear from people in other parts of the world who say they're being blessed by the messages from here. Thank God for that. That's wonderful. But let me tell you, wherever you're watching, you need to be looking for fellowship. Wherever you're listening, you need to be looking for brothers and sisters in Christ that you can meet with and share with and pray for and serve. In heaven, we're going to delight in worship. We're going to delight in fellowship. And I'll tell you something else. If you're not looking forward to it, you may not have to worry about being there.
In Psalm 145, we read, "One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations." One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So we should be groaning, longing to be with him. We should be clinging to the guarantee that he's given us that we will be with him. But then there's a third G. Verse 6 and following. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, here comes the G, we make it our goal to please him. We make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What's your goal? What are you groaning about? What's the guarantee you're relying on? What's your goal? Would it be honest to say that your goal is to please him? Because that's what we do if we're in Christ. We make it our goal to please him. Because he saved us. He put his spirit within us. And now, just like Jesus wanted to do the Father's will, we want to do the Father's will. In Romans chapter 12, we're told to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God because that's intelligent worship. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Here's what it says next. So that you can prove or demonstrate that God's will for your life is good and acceptable and perfect. If we really believe that God's will for our life is perfect, why would you want something less? If we love God the way we should love God, then we want to please Him because He's so wonderful and we love Him so much. But if you're not quite grown to that point, you at least ought to realize He loves you perfectly and His plan for you is perfect. When I was a kid, the Sears and Roebuck catalog used to come to people's homes. And in many things, whether it was clothing or appliances, it would give you three options. They were all sold by Sears. This one was good. This one was better. This one was best. A lot of us were happy if we could just get what was good. Sometimes we might have a little extra and go ahead and say, let's go ahead and get the one that's better. In our family, I can't remember our ever ordering something that was the best. But if we could, if they'd all three been the same price, you better believe we would have always gone for what's best, right? If you went to a restaurant and they said, well, now we've got this food and it won't kill you. And then we've got this food, and it was good a couple of days ago, and it should still be pretty good. But then this is what the chef has just made with the freshest ingredients, and he's really put his heart and soul into this thing. This is really, really the best. You'd say, I want the one he just made. I want the best. God has a plan for your life that is good and acceptable and perfect. By definition, you cannot improve on perfect. Boy, look at the finish on that car. It's like a mirror. That's fabulous. Let me see if I can get some sandpaper and shine it up a little bit. You'd be insane. You can't improve on perfect. So if you're not looking to obey God, it's because you don't really trust Him. You don't really believe that He loves you so much that He sent His Son to save you. If we believe the truth of the gospel, then it only makes sense to want to obey God. I have never in my life regretted obeying God. I have on too many occasions failed to obey God and regretted it profoundly. You will never make a mistake by obeying God. I've literally had conversations across the years with thousands of people. No one has ever told me, yeah, biggest mistake I ever made was doing what God said. Nobody. Nobody's ever said that. But I can't count all the people who with tears have said, oh, how I wish I'd obeyed God. So, what are you groaning about? You looking forward to heaven? Are you longing to be with Him so that the best stuff of this life is not going to entice you away from doing the will of God? What are you depending on as your guarantee of eternal life? Is it your performance? I've been doing pretty well lately. I've been memorizing verses and yeah, but if that's your hope of eternal life, you missed it. Are you depending on His promise and His Spirit who lives within you? That's our guarantee. And are you making it your goal? Making it your goal to please Him. Because that's what eternal life looks like.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.